I know how intimidating beekeeping can be, especially in those first couple of years, and not knowing what you need, what to do, or where to find help can be downright scary. That's why I created the AI-assisted Beekeeping for Newbies mobile app to be right there with you as you start your beekeeping journey. Loaded up with checklists, guides, and one of my favorites, a bunch of queen bee photos to help you get better at locating them during inspections. I created this app to provide you with a single source to help jumpstart your learning and make you a better beekeeper. Go to studio.com/beekeeper. That's studio.com/beekeeper to take advantage of a limited time 20% off launch special.
Hey everybody, good afternoon and welcome to Beekeeping for Newbies. This is going to be episode 3. So we're working our way through things here and making things happen. And had a good episode 2 here. We talked all about gear and what you need to protect yourself and all of that. So right now what we're going to do here on episode 3 is we're going to talk about how we get those first hives, those first colonies to your house and into your yard. And the next episode here, episode 4, is going to be all about the hive components, parts, pieces, and then maybe even we'll talk about episode 5 timeframe, maybe how we're going to get things installed and get the season kicked off for you next year. So with that being said, there are several options and ways that you can get your first bee colonies. I would say the most common thing that I see a lot of people advising or recommending is what they would call the package bees. What package bees are is a container. It's a wooden container with hardware cloth. It's like the number 8 hardware cloth, so it's got 8 squares per inch. So of course it'll keep the honeybees in, and it's wrapped, hardware cloth all around this wooden container. In the top middle, there is a jar with sugar water. And that sugar water has a small pinhole basically on the bottom of it so that sugar water can slowly drip out. This gives the bees a food source when they are in transit. Also inside that cage is going to be, or that container is a cage. It's a queen cage. And a queen cage is about 3 inches long by about an inch wide by about 3/4 of an inch tall. So it's a small little cage. One end will have a cork plug. The other end will have a block of sugar, like a sugar candy. And what happens is inside of there, there will be a queen inside that cage with 4 or 5 attendants, because the attendants actually will eat the food, and then they will give the food. They will feed the queen. The queen will not feed herself. So you'll have the queen cage, the feed can, and then you'll have a few thousand bees. Now, these packages are typically sold as a 3-pound package. I have seen places that will sell, higher numbers than that, but the 3-pound package is the most common. I will get into, after I kind of review all the different, options you have, I'll tell you about kind of the pros and cons of each one. So the next most common thing that you'll see is a nuc or a nucleus colony. A nuc is usually, and I say usually because different apiaries and different people do things differently, a nuc is usually 5 frames. So you'll have a small box that is, the length of a honey, a regular standard frame. Typically, I say it's standard frame. It's a deep frame, I probably did this out of sequence. I should have talked about the parts, pieces, and components before I did the package, the ordering of the bees piece. But I really wanted to make sure you could kind of make a decision on this as early as possible, because some places are giving you 2020 pricing still, and I don't want you to have to pay too much for your bees. So it is going to be a box that's probably, about 20 or 22 inches long by about, 8 to 10 inches wide and maybe another 12 inches high. Inside that nuc box, you'll see 5 frames. Typically, the way that it's done is you'll have inside there will be 3 of those frames are typically capped brood. So this is going to be, honeybees waiting to be born. And then the other 2 are usually food and pollen frames. And again, the mixture might be a little bit different. You may have, 1 frame that's fully capped brood. One of them is half with bees actively hatching. The other one might have some larvae. I mean, how it's actually, put together doesn't make a huge difference. But what you want to look for is, good brood pattern. You want to make sure you've got a queen in there. The queen looks healthy. She's laying eggs. and you've got a little bit of food in there for some food stores. So that's the nucleus colony. The step above that is the overwintered nucleus colony, and the pricing on these can be different, and not all apiaries are going to offer them. But a regular nuke like that might be $150 or $175. An overwintered nuke might be $200, $225, $250. Now, if you go back to, I think it was episode one, where I talked about some of the traits and characteristics of bees and honeybees, you know, one of those traits is their ability to overwinter. If that hive and that queen cannot overwinter, you've got a big problem, right? It doesn't matter if their temperament is great, their hygiene is great, you know, they have all kinds of good attributes, good honey producers or whatever, but they can't live through the winter. That's a problem. So by buying a overwintered nuke, you now have a queen and a colony that you know can overwinter. So you know that you've got that genetic trait checked off. So there is, you know, there is some advantage to that. I have personally never done it. But if I were a new beekeeper starting out and I only wanted to have a couple of hives, I probably would make that investment of a couple extra dollars, just because in my situation, I've got a lot of bees. I've got a lot of hives. And if there's a problem with one hive, I think it was one of the books I had read a long time ago, the guys who, you know, kept bees at Buckfast Abbey, you know, Brother Adam and those folks. I think it was one of them who had said, most problems in a beehive can be affixed by either taking something out or putting something into the hive. And because I have a lot of resources available to me, that's a little bit easier. But as a newer beekeeper with fewer resources available, looking at that overwintered nuke might not be a bad way to go. So those are the three primary options that you'll see, but more widely available will just be the nuke or the packaged bees. How you acquire them is kind of the next phase or the next question you want to ask yourself. I'm a huge fan of supporting local apiaries. And I mean, me personally, I've driven 3 or 4 hours before to, you know, to get bees that were local, because I wanted to establish a relationship with the guy who runs this apiary, because, you know, he's a smart guy. He's been doing it for a while. And, you know, most people that I've interacted with in the bee business are pretty cool. They're pretty good people. They're generally, you know, good-hearted folks. I haven't seen a lot of mean, nasty beekeepers. So having an opportunity to establish a relationship with, you know, your local beekeeper, whether it's, you know, at his or her apiary, or, you know, maybe it's through the bee club, however you do that, you know, it's still good to establish and build those relationships. Like I've recommended in, you know, previous podcasts, the bee club is by, you know, hands down the best way to go, because you don't have to shop around. You can go to your bee club, start attending meetings, learning about bees and how to keep them, and have a mentor assigned to you and work with them. And then you say, hey, I'd like to get 2 hives this spring. What do I do? And they will be able to tell you which local apiaries that they've worked with before, which ones are known to have, you know, good stock. And, you know, they can help you the whole, you know, every step of the way. But I also recognize that some people are more introverted, or they just don't want to go out and meet people, or whatever the case may be, you know, you still can just order online or whatever. But again, my first recommendation, if you're not in a bee club, try and establish a relationship with an apiary near you, and, you know, just ask them questions, you know, go there and talk to them and say, hey, if you don't mind me asking, you know, what do you think about this? Or what do you think about that? Or, hey, this is my first year, you know, you have any suggestions on some things I can do? Now, it's a pretty broad question. They may say, yeah, join a bee club and kind of walk away. I mean, I don't know how busy they're going to be the day that you go in there, but just try to have that dialogue, you know, try to engage them and see what they'll tell you. Also, you know, the bees that they're keeping in that area, there's a good chance that you know, they already have the genetics needed to survive in your locality or your region. Now, with that, I will also say it is not uncommon at all for a lot of beekeepers local to your area. Like I've said before, I'm in Virginia. I know a lot of beekeepers here who have deals worked out with people in Georgia and Florida, and they'll go down and they'll drive a truck back with, you know, 200 or 300 packaged bees that they've paid, you know, $100 a piece for, and then they're going to sell them all for $150 or whatever deal they work out, right? They're buying them in Georgia and they're selling them to you. You know, ask them, just ask them, say, hey, are these packaged bees from your apiary, or did you ship them in from another state? I mean, I'm not going to tell you that it's wrong to get them from another state, but that would certainly help with the argument that I mentioned about them being local to your area, right? A bee that's been raised in your area is going to be more adept at surviving in your climate and in your conditions than a bee that comes from somewhere else. So now when we talk about the pros and the cons of which way you go, right? Whether you buy local, whether you, you know, get packaged bees or nukes, the first thing I would tell you is, given the choice and the opportunity, I would say pick up a nuke from as far as you're willing to drive away. That would be the way that I would do it. And different places will have different requirements. You'll want to talk to them up front. Some of them will give you a little cardboard box that they unfold, they stick the frames in, they close it up and hand it to you. It's got a couple of vent holes in it. And then when you get it home, you need to put it into a nuke box of your own or a full-size hive of your own. Others will give you, you know, regular traditional woodware where it's a, you know, wooden nuke, everything's good to go. You can keep using that, you can reuse it later. And others will do a swap. Others will say, you bring me a nuke and five frames, and I will give you a nuke with five frames. And you can generally maybe save a couple of dollars by going that route. I've seen some that have said, yeah, here's, you know, here's my nuke, you know, here's, or here's your nuke. And then you bring your box in and they take out all the frames and drop it in and you walk away with that. What I don't like about that is it's a little bit of a story on its own, but if you have a nuke in place in the bee yard and you show up at 11 o'clock to pick those up, you've got a lot of foragers that are out. So you can take that nuke box, open it up, and you're probably going to have, you know, 75% of your bees, 65% of your bees are going to be in that nuke box, but you're not going to get your foragers. And what this apiary is going to do is as soon as they hand you your nuke, they're going to drop another one right where yours was, and all those foragers are going to go into that other hive, that new hive. So I would prefer a situation where the apiary would close the hive up at night, the night before, and then I would get to take it home that next day and I have all my bees. That's just something to keep in mind. But the nuke itself is hands down the best way to start your apiary or your hobby. Like I've said before, I recommend buying two so you can compare them to each other. It's very difficult without experience to just look at a hive and say whether or not it's doing well or poorly if you have no basis of comparison. If you've been keeping bees for, you know, 5-6 years, and you know what's kind of normal and what's not, you know, different story. But as a new beekeeper, you don't really know what to look for. But it's super easy when you have two hives that are, you know, 3 feet apart, and you can say, well, I see this with that one and that with that one, and you can start to see differences. Plus, like I mentioned earlier, there are things you can do where maybe, you know, one hive is just doing exceptionally well and you can't even keep up with them. So you decide that maybe you're going to try to split them off or expand their space, or you want to do something with them. Or you may decide that, hey, I'm going to try and boost up this other hive. I'm going to give them a frame of brood to kind of kickstart them. There are, again, pros and cons to that too. We can talk about that later as well. The nuke, when you get the nuke, you are going to have a box full of bees. You're going to have a queen that you know is a good laying queen. You know that she's healthy. You know she's doing well. You can look at the frame and see brood all over the frame. And, you know, when you look at a frame by itself, there are thousands of cells on each side of that frame. When a bee is, it goes from, you know, egg to larva, pupa, up to being a bee, it is a 21-day process to make a worker bee. When that nuke shows up at your house, you have capped brood that are probably going to hatch at least within the next couple of days, maybe a week. Any eggs that she laid before you picked up the nuke and that may be larva now, and by the time they get, you know, a couple of days in, they get capped, you're still maybe 2 weeks, two and a half weeks away from those bees being born. That hive, within 3 weeks, and especially within 4 weeks, is going to explode. You're going to have more bees than you can imagine because that queen is just laying eggs like crazy. As long as there's pollen and there's nectar, she's laying eggs. Now compare that to a package of bees. Now, if you take a package of bees, and let's say that you're fortunate enough to either have a friend who's a beekeeper, or you've kept bees yourself, and you have a couple of frames of comb that's already drawn out. You can install that package of bees into a nuke or a regular hive, and those bees will get in there, they'll polish up that comb, and they'll get everything cleaned up. And within a few days, that queen's going to be laying eggs. That's great. I mean, the comb is already there. They can get to work. They have a place to put pollen that they're gathering and nectar that they're gathering. All is great in their world. But if you have nothing, if all you have is wax foundation and you've dropped in, you know, 5 frames of wax foundation with these bees, this cluster of bees, the bees have to do a lot of work. Now, the bees, the first thing they got to do is draw up comb. And they're going to have to get all the comb drawn to give them a place to start storing food, pollen, nectar, laying eggs. They've got a lot of work to do. I have seen and experienced situations myself where I install some package bees and it rains for 2 or 3 days straight, right? I mean, they don't have any food stores. They've got nothing in there. So that brings up the next consideration, right? You need to make sure you're putting, I use feeders inside my hive. I either use top feeders or I use frame feeders, depending on the type of feeder that I have. I highly encourage you, unless you have a nuke, right? If you have a nuke that's already stood up and it's ready to go and it's healthy, you know, it'll be fine. It'll be fine. I'm telling you, you don't need to supplemental feed it. If you have package bees, in my opinion, it shouldn't even be a topic of consideration. You want to feed those bees inside that hive. Because like I said, if it rains, you have a couple of days of bad weather, anything that happens that is disruptive, bees will start to starve to death. Remember, they've got to draw the comb up first. From egg to worker is 3 weeks. So you're a month out before you start to replace any of the bees that came in your package. Your 3-pound package might have like 8 to 10,000 bees in it. A typical hive is going to lose about 100, 150 bees a day just to attrition, just to, you know, spiders, birds, you know, old age, whatever it might be. And a bee's life is about 2 months, 56, 58 days in the spring, summertime. So you have bees that are 3 or 4 weeks old, maybe by the time you get them. And then by the time your first new bees are being born, all of your existing bees are kind of too old. So it's really, really tough, in my opinion, to take a package of bees and establish a successful hive. I can tell you, and I've mentioned it before, when I would take package bees, when I first started, I was batting about 20% success rate with them because they don't have enough resources from day one. My nectar flow here where I am, it starts pretty much, it'll kick in a little bit in late February, but by mid-March, it's starting to really kick in. We're at our peak in about mid-April, and we're tailing off by about, you know, like May 15th, mid-May, we're starting to taper off. A lot of package bees don't even ship out until the end of April, early May. So here you get this package of bees that's showing up at the tail end of the nectar flow. So if you are not supplemental feeding them from the beginning, you don't have much of a chance. Now, in my case, it's a little bit easier for me because I can take a couple of frames of drawn comb, drop them in there, and put another frame with just full of sugar water in there. And now they've got a place that they've got food, they got resources, they can go out and find pollen because pollen is abundant anyway, and they've got a place to lay eggs, and they have a much better chance. But I believe for a new beekeeper, package bees are almost setting you up for failure because the success rate on them is just not that great, especially if you're not supplemental feeding. If you don't feed them at all and you're in an area where I am, like where I am, we get that flow, like I said, mid-March to like mid to late May, and then it's over. We don't see anything again till mid-August where we get that fall flow that kicks in, but we have 2 months of a dearth where there's really nothing. You know, that's where for me around June, you know, late June, mid to late June kind of time frame, I break out the supplemental feeders, you know, because I'm trying to grow the hives. I'm trying to make them bigger. So I'll put out pollen feeders and sugar water and stuff because I want them to get a nice big reserve to build up for two reasons. One, if I want to take honey, I'll pull the honey off before I put those feeders out. And two, I got to make sure they have plenty of food to make it through that dearth in the summer. And three, I want to make sure they've got enough to make it through the winter. So back to the package bees thing. Yes, you can do them. Yes, you can be successful. But as a new beekeeper who's trying to figure out a whole lot of things, I believe that it's almost setting yourself up for failure unless you have a mentor working with you and you're just following some basic things. So I will go into this, I think, in more detail. I think it's worthy of its own dedicated kind of discussion. talking about, you know, what you should and shouldn't do around setting them up, whether it's, you know, a nuc or a package bees or however that goes. Well, folks, I think I've pretty much covered everything that I was hoping to cover. As a quick recap, right, we talked about package bees, you know, local versus ordering them from somewhere. We talked about regular nucs. We talked about overwintered nucs. So we'll go ahead and wrap everything up for the day. If you have any questions, please go ahead and hit us up at, you know, beekeepingfornewbies.com. And just send a message and say, hey, listen, this was good, but I need more info on that. Or you really didn't cover this, or I think you're full of it. You know, whatever you want to tell me, I'm a big boy, I can handle it. But I definitely want this content to be useful, beneficial, and your feedback is definitely welcomed and encouraged. And like I said, next time around, we are going to talk about all of the parts and pieces. So we talked about nucs a little bit today. I'm going to go into more detail with all of the things you might see. And I say all, I guess with an asterisk, there's always something weird that somebody can pull off. We're going to be talking about the Langstroth hives, 8 and 10 frame hives. We're going to talk about 2-frame nucs, 4-frame nucs, 5-frame nucs. And we'll just kind of run through all of that. We'll run through top down, right? Or bottom up, right? Your hive stand all the way up to the top, outer cover. We'll cover it all. So hopefully that'll be a pretty detailed, exciting episode. And again, if you have any questions, shoot me an email. Beekeepingfornewbies.com. Thanks a lot, you folks. Have a great weekend, and we will talk to you again real soon. Bye-bye.
I know how intimidating beekeeping can be, especially in those first couple of years, and not knowing what you need, what to do, or where to find help can be downright scary. That's why I created the AI-assisted Beekeeping for Newbies mobile app to be right there with you as you start your beekeeping journey. Loaded up with checklists, guides, and one of my favorites, a bunch of queen bee photos to help you get better at locating them during inspections. I created this app to provide you with a single source to help jumpstart your learning and make you a better beekeeper. Go to studio.com/beekeeper. That's studio.com/beekeeper to take advantage of a limited time 20% off launch special.